Welcome, everybody, this evening to our official launch of Shadow Her. This is where we clap super loud. Thank you all so much for coming this evening and for being a part of our journey. Shadow Her started with a dream from this lady right over here, talking to one of her mentors, Jeff Hoffman, who unfortunately can't be with us this evening, but he will be with us at the graduation of our first cohort in December. So when Marsha had this dream, as we all know how Marsha rolls, it happens. She gave herself 1 year, and within 1 year, we're already halfway through our first cohort of empowering. Yay! Of empowering entrepreneur women leading the charge in their industry. And that is what Shadow Her's mission is set out to do. You know, we really want to make sure we're fostering relationships, setting up a support system, and making sure that they have all of the resources they need to be successful and really try to hit that $1 million mark in their industry. So tonight we're going to be recording a live podcast session. We have a very special guest, Elizabeth Convery, and Marsha's going to dive into her entrepreneurial journey, hopefully to hit home to others about how they can succeed on their path. So I will kick it over to Marsha, our host of the podcast, and Elizabeth is going to take us home. So take it away, ladies.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Megan. I appreciate that. So first of all, welcome, everybody. I am so excited to basically kick off our first ever Shadow Her podcast. And this is an idea literally that started last June in actually Orlando, Florida, talking to Jeff Hoffman. And the idea was behind a lot of women entrepreneurs. People don't realize this, but only about 4% of entrepreneurs will hit that $1 million revenue mark. Of that, 1% are women. And what I would like to do is make that 2%. And because of the fact that we always have that little chatter on our shoulders all the time, like, well, I can't do that tonight. I have to do this. And I have to take care of my dad, or I have to do this. I got to make dinner. We're constantly putting so much chatter in our heads that we forget that we too can achieve what we want to achieve. We just have to basically have a bigger support system around us. So we decided to do a podcast to get out there with other successful entrepreneurs and talk about their journey, because they can't be successful on the outside, but the struggle was real. And the struggle was basically to let people know it's like we all had a struggle to get where we're at today. So I was very excited to ask my dear friend Elizabeth here to partake and be my first bait. Contestant here to basically talk about her, I would say, journey, struggle, encouragement, and just excitement along the way. So with that, Elizabeth, I'm going to have you introduce yourself a little bit. So sure. All yours.
Thank you, Marsha. I'm so honored. I'll give you a little background. Marsha and I have been friends for a long time. I've looked up to Marsha for many years. We've known each other before I became a $1 million woman, I guess, mm-hmm. is what we're calling the women who get to that level. And I always looked up to you. So I'm so honored to be here next to you on the stage. And so in order to support Marsha, I registered for this event, of course, the minute that it came through. And then I got an email, would you like to, speak at the event? And I'm like, sure, of course, no problem. And so here we are. So,
and
I'm so flattered.
And she'd
be the first one. And I thought, are there going to be others?
Oh, yes, there's many of you. I may be looking at a few of you out there, so just a heads up on this. But the idea is to get out there and actually have a weekly program where we're going to have a live, not always live, but it'll be taped at least and then shown out there on social media so that other entrepreneurs can understand the story and the struggle behind mm-hmm. it. And, one of the funniest things is, well, not funny, entrepreneurs, we're like our worst enemies sometimes, and we are always so busy. And sometimes I think we thrive in that chaos. And ironically enough, I know that she's been doing this for a long time. And I said, hey, we'll set some time up on the calendar to basically talk and really go into your background and everything else. So that happened this morning. And, and it just was like, hey, you good at 7:30? I'm good at 7:30. And she's like, I'll be driving. And then we made it happen, and it was interesting. She didn't know I went through a car wash. I went into Wawa, but you had to do what you had to do because I had a timeline of everything else I had to get done. But it was great because I started asking her questions. So the biggest thing you started off was saying, well, I just found out about my husband and now we have to move within 60 days to DC. So mm-hmm. let's talk about that.
Yeah. So just a little background on me. I started Very Real Estate, which is a boutique residential brokerage firm 10 years ago. Next week, it'll be 10 years old, October 9th. Thank you. I was 30 at the time and I left a corporate job in New York. I always wanted to be an entrepreneur and I just dove into the pool on a dare from my dad, who has been a mentor and friend for so many years. And he finally said, look, you're never going to do it unless you do it. And, I dare you to do it. And if you don't succeed in a year, you'll go get a job. You can get a job. It will be fine. So I didn't know what I didn't know. And over the last 10 years, I took, you know, an idea that I came up with on my couch in New York City when I was living there to a company that, you know, that is actually a company now. And I have employees and 401k and healthcare and all those things. And I partnered my boutique brokerage with a larger firm, Compass, and continued my growth. And now I am focusing this next decade on impact, and I'm building a coaching program and online education platform to help women who are early in their real estate career design the life that they want, because I was fortunate to do that with a lot of mistakes along the way, and we'll get into a lot of those. But over the last 10 years, I met my husband, who's in the Navy, and I learned what a military wife life entails. And I got a call yesterday from my husband. We're stationed in Norfolk, Virginia. So I come up to Philly every other week. And he said, honey, we're moving to DC. I'm like, oh, I love DC. I'm so excited. And he tells me about the job and how they handpicked him for it and how wonderful this is. And then I said, great. And he said, and we have to be there by November 30th. And I'm like, oh, okay. So when I spoke to Marsha this morning at 7:30, I was like, so I just learned within 24 hours ago that I'm uprooting my whole life again. But we can do that.
With two small kids.
Yes, with a almost 4-year-old and an 8-month-old. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's go back to your journey through entrepreneurship. And we were talked about that. I said, what were you doing when you were 8 years old? Because a lot of entrepreneurs have had one story or another in their lives of being an entrepreneur one way or another. So let's talk about what you were doing when you were 8.
So I have always been an entrepreneur, but I didn't know it. So I always had a lemonade stand or something. I was always trying to make money. I don't know. I have this best friend. My best friend is Nicole. We have been friends since we were 4 years old. We grew up across the street from each other and we were the only girls on the block. And when this was such a triggering question for me, because it made me laugh out loud this morning, when we were 8 years old, my parents were putting like wainscoting in the house. So there was leftover pieces of wood in the garage. So Nick and I decided that we were going to figure out how to make Play-Doh. Okay. So we made Play-Doh from I don't think that there was the internet at this time. Maybe there was, I wasn't on it at 8 in the early 90s. And so we figured out a recipe for Play-Doh. We made the Play-Doh and then we decided that we would put food coloring in it because, you know, Play-Doh looks better when there's a color. And we made the names of the boys on the street and put them on those little pieces of wood to make signs. And then we sold them to the kids in the neighborhood for like $2. And they bought them. And we were like, and then about 2 days later, because it was summertime, the Play-Doh recipe that we used caused bugs. And I completely forgot about the story until Marsha was like, what are you doing at 8? Actually, that summer. And so they were asking for refunds. And we were like, no, all sales final.
But
so that was me at 8.
You know, you learned and then you did something else. And then you got into sales and you actually had worked with like selling like baby clothes and things like that, you know, and you were good at it, you know?
Yeah, it's funny. My first job, I was telling Marsha, she said, well, what was your first job? And I said, I started working the minute that I could. I don't know. I just wanted to get out there and work. And I got a job at the Baby Gap at age 16. I wanted to work at Gap because, you know, that was a good clothing. I wore it when I was 16. And there was no opportunity there. So I went to the Baby Gap. And man, did I learn how to accessorize a baby outfit. And then the next thing I knew, they were like, wow, you could really upsell that headband. I'm like, yes, I can.
And now you sell real estate.
And now I sell real estate.
It's a direct correlation right there.
Yes. And I have babies, so I really can accessorize a child's outfit.
Yes, you do. They're always so cute. Absolutely. Oh, thank you. But you learned all that. And then obviously you went to Cornell. You had started in New York City and you came down here and, you know, you were very young. How old were you when you had started, you know, your company?
I was 30. I turned 30 in April of 2013, and I launched my business in October of that year. So I was 30 and a half.
And then you had these ideas of where you wanted to take it, what you wanted to do, and walk us through what you were thinking.
Yeah, so I had my career up to that point was in commercial real estate, and I had worked in appraisal. I had worked in for a fund management group on an acquisitions team where I was sourcing and underwriting deals on behalf of, you know, family offices and funds. And then I was, after grad school, I moved to New York. I wanted to live in New York. I was working for a large commercial brokerage company there selling hotels, but I ultimately was not happy. Because I didn't feel like I was connecting with my work. I'm an old millennial, and the millennial generation likes to connect with their work. And I was trying to find other ways to feel like I was making a difference, and the volunteering was not getting me there. So I decided that I wanted to start a business in residential real estate, and I wanted to come back to Philadelphia, which was where I was from, and I had a condo that I had bought there. And I decided that I wanted to start my own business because I didn't fit with any of the real estate companies that were in the market at the time. And I interviewed with all of them and I thought, well, if people are going to buy me, who cares what brokerage I'm with? Can I get a broker's license and start a one-person shop? And so that's how I started, because I interviewed so many people about their experience buying real estate at that time. And it was very transactional. It was very much like, okay, I did this. I called the agent. They showed me the house. I made an offer. And I would say, well, what did it sound like when you made the offer? Did you get, you know, did you feel confident in the price that you paid? Did they help you through the negotiation? And it was like, yeah, maybe, I don't know. And then the last question that I would always ask was, who was your real estate agent? And I couldn't believe how many people in my peer group didn't know the name of the person who had sold them their biggest asset. And I thought, there's a way to do this better. There's a way to do this with care and in partnership. And that's what I want to build.
So here you are, you have a business, you're starting up, you're young, and you know, you didn't really, you had, you know, the lemonade stand experience and obviously the Play-Doh. But in regards to how did you teach yourself how to basically handle the accounting, handle the finances, handle the operations? What were you doing to put yourself in for success?
Yeah. I read a lot of books. I pieced together a lot of things. I made a lot of mistakes. And I have a girlfriend who started her business around the same time that I did. And we didn't become friends until we were both 3 years into our business. She was a little further ahead. Maybe she was 4 years into her business. Very different, you know, market than what I was doing. And we were sitting for coffee one day and I looked at her and I said, if you know what you know now, would you have done it? And she goes, no. And I said, me either. And we both agreed it was because we would have known too much. And it was the grit and the wanting it so badly to succeed that pushed me to read the books, find the mentors, get in the support groups, find other men and women who had done it before me, get the people who had been through the training, ask them questions. And so I think putting all of that together and all the mistakes I made along the way helped me to get to where, definitely helped me to get to where I am.
And so let's go back to that, because when you have all that, you're putting things into place, you're hiring people, you're trusting them and all too. And recently you had told me, you know, about an instance too of like somebody that you trusted and it sort of backfired on you. And, you know, walk us through that.
I operate from a place, and this might be a weakness, but I don't think so, where I start with kindness. And I believe that people have that in their heart. And I sometimes, and maybe that's the weakness part, is that I give the benefit of the doubt too quickly. And I trust very, very easily. And so I get very emotionally involved with people, right? But that is my secret sauce. That's who I am. And that's the business that I've built, right? So I hope that with instances in which, you know, people show their true colors, that's going to happen to you. I mean, it's going to happen to all of us, unfortunately. I hope that I never lose that quality, that I start with the kindness and I start with a place of these people are good.
Yep. But sometimes they're not.
And sometimes they're not. And I think what I've learned from those instances, and it's interesting you should say this because I was coaching somebody today on exactly this. And I said, it's going to hit you soon. And it hasn't yet, that the person that you trusted really did this to you. And when that happens, I want you to think it was them and it wasn't you. Because I think as women particularly, we can really internalize, well, what did I do wrong? What could I have done better? Sure, self-assess, absolutely and always. But don't let it bring you so far down that your mindset changes and then you're not effective for others.
I think that's a really key point. Another thing you mentioned today was the fact that when you had gotten a coach, it is very lonely to be an entrepreneur. You do have friends. People like, you know, everybody. That's great. I do love a lot of people, but it's still lonely. You know, you can tell, I mean, I tell my husband a lot, you know, and he's very great listening, but I don't tell him everything. And I feel as if I can't tell, no offense, honey. There are certain things you don't. So it's very lonely. So I know I have a group of people around me, but you had a coach very young and I applaud you for that because a lot of people don't get coaches until probably like, you know, my age in the 50s. And you didn't, you started way earlier. Why did you do that?
So a funny story. So I told you I started my business October 2013. So spring of 2014, maybe June of 2014, I'm at a bachelorette weekend in Charlottesville with three of my girlfriends. And I have these clients who are calling me on a Saturday. And it, like, if anybody's been to Charlottesville, it's picturesque like what we're looking at right now, right? It was beautiful. We were going to the wineries. It was like just fabulous day and the sun was shining and I'm with my girlfriends and all the jazz. And I have these clients who are calling me with the real estate emergency of the century, which, by the way, there is no such thing as a real estate emergency. Don't let anybody tell you that that's true. It's not. You're not saving lives when you are selling real estate. You're improving lives, but nobody's going to die. So, but I internalized that so much and I got so insane and was like, oh, wait, I'm so far away. I have to answer this phone call. I have to reply to this text. This is going to be horrible, blah, blah, blah. And my girlfriend, to her credit, looked at me and she said, you really need to call my coach. And I said, what? She said, this is not the way that you need to be living, especially without a boss. And I was like, oh my gosh, whoa. So I called her coach and I hired him and it was very expensive, but I looked at it as an investment in the business and I never looked back. And I've had coaches throughout my career since then, in different forms.
But you did it. And I think that's the biggest step as an entrepreneur because we think we can do it all. Mm-hmm. And that's why we do what we do. Like, well, no one else can do it better. So we're going to do it ourselves. And you don't realize that you actually need help. And there's so much ways to get help out there. Actually, a lot of good people in this audience can help you tonight. And so it's really hard to do that. So I applaud you for doing that. But then along the way, you're doing great. You're building up. You're getting married. You're having a first child. And then, you know, I mean, what was that like? And here is your business and here you are, you have, you know, like a 4-month-old. So What's going through your head?
Yeah. And so I had a 4-month-old when COVID hit. So our son Jack was born in November of 2019. You know that my husband's in the Navy. So we were living in downtown Philadelphia and Chip was stationed at the Naval War College for, you know, officer, whatever he was doing. And we had set up an apartment in Newport and I was in Philadelphia with a baby. He started school on, I think, March 16th. The world shut down on like March 20th, March 24th. I don't remember the dates because I was so smacked in the face. So I'm in Philadelphia alone with the baby. He's away. And then real estate was considered a non-essential service by Governor Wolf, and it was actually the only state in the entire country to have real estate, a non-essential service, was Pennsylvania. So I could not work. So here I am, single mom, not by choice, with a business that I had grown and had learned, thankfully, to put a lot of cash away, which is what saved me. And I learned that through all of the coaching and the groups that I had been involved in. And the business was halted. And I'm alone in my house with a newborn, essentially. And my parents moved in with me. And they said, we need to just feed you so that you can feed the baby and that you can figure out your business. And it was terrifying. Mm-hmm. But I learned a lot about myself during that time. Mm-hmm. I learned what was important to me, right? And it was obviously my husband, it was my son, it was my health, it was my family's health. But also I realized in that moment that like I could lose my other baby, which was my first baby, my business, right? I could lose that. That it could really happen. We didn't know. And I remember thinking, no, I'm not going to lose it. I've come way too far and I've been to through too many things to lose this business. It might be a different version, but I'm going to figure it out. And I hired another coach.
But you did something about it.
I did.
You didn't let it control you. You controlled it.
We have
a difference.
We have a phrase. Exactly. We have a phrase, a friend of mine, he's like, you could sit in your poopy diaper or you could get up and you could make a change. So what are you going to do? And we always laugh about that because we're like, who wants to sit in a poopy diaper? But I think, you know, and we've got kids, so that's the whole thing, the poopy diaper. But anyway, the point of me saying that is that I could have sat with that. Yeah. I could have crumbled immediately. My husband's away. My baby needs me. My business is in the toilet. I'm just going to sit here and watch Netflix. I watch so much Netflix. There is no judgment around that. If you can't work, watch the Netflix. But I got up.
Yeah.
I got up and I got gritty and I put on that hat again and I figured it out.
But I think you also transformed in so many ways that you probably don't even realize because you just started also a coaching business. Mm-hmm. And you saw a void, something missing, which is entrepreneurs do, and they're really good at it. But they also, entrepreneurs, execute on that.
Yeah.
So walk us through some of the things that you learned during COVID to also have now your coaching business on the side.
Yeah. So during COVID, I got very committed to all the things that I was already committed to, right? Which was a relationship-based business. And I would call past clients just to say, how are you doing? How is your family? How are things, right? So the importance of relationships really came through. I focused so much on my team. And I've always focused on my team. But the culture of that team, we would meet twice a week on Zoom. And on Fridays, what was there to talk about? There was nothing really to talk about business related, but we wanted that community, you know, when you're in your home. And on Fridays, we would get together and we would come with the quote that was speaking to us that day. And we'd share it. And then based on those quotes, it would be like, well, who really needs the support this week? And nobody ever said you need the support, but you could tell by what was on their mind, who was really struggling during this time, because it was a scary, scary, horrible time. Mm-hmm. So from that, I learned, okay, culture is everything. Being committed to that culture and being brave enough to fire somebody that doesn't fit that culture is so important. Being a person for others is something I've always been, but really excelling at that and taking that to the next level, I saw during COVID. And then as I hired this new coach and said, how am I going to emerge from this? She said, well, what do you really want to do? And I said, I want to be with my kids. I had one at the time. I said, I want to be with my husband. I want to be with my child. And I don't need to be selling real estate anymore. And I have an amazing team. So let's figure it out. And she said, okay, well, in order to build up that team, you've got to learn how to coach that team. So let's figure out what you're doing now and how you're going to do it. So I became a coach by accident during COVID, really to serve my entrepreneurial wants, to become a mom and to become a wife and be present in both of those things because I saw what that was like to not be with my family. And I never wanted to go through that again. So I became an accidental coach and now I'm building a business around it.
Nothing.
I got good at it.
Accidental, my dear. It's always meant to be out there for sure. And you are good. But then you now are having this and you have an online training and all these things. And then she says this morning, she's like, oh, yeah, well, there's coaches for that, too. And so I got a coach to tell me how to do an online program. And I got a coach to do this. I got a coach to do that. How did you find all these coaches?
The internet is wonderful. You might not be able to Google how to make Play-Doh when you're 8 years old, but you can find stuff on the internet. I've always had my coaches that I've had, with the exception of this last one for the online course, through word of mouth referral. So I told you about my girlfriend in Charlottesville. That's how I got my first coach. I was part of the EOA program, which is Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator. So I joined very similarly. I joined when I was a new business with I just made the revenue hurdle when they did it. And then I scaled it to, over $1 million company through their teachings. Mm-hmm. And then my coach from COVID, I spoke to friends of mine who were also business owners. And I said, who do you know? I need somebody who's a business coach, who's going to do a full audit, not just a sales coach, which is what I had before. And the EOA was a training. And so that's how I found that coach. But with the online education, I found her on YouTube. I know. Can you stand it?
No.
Yeah.
No. The things you learn. It's the best,
actually.
Because people say all this stuff and you're like, oh, this is great. And talk about the book too. You mm-hmm. have a lot of things in the play.
Yeah. So what I'm doing now is I told you I turned 40 and I wanted to devote the decade to impact. And I thought the best way to scale what I'm doing on my small team now, I didn't want to be a team lead of, so many women that I couldn't focus on them one-on-one, was to do an online course. And so from that, I did research actually all summer on what real estate agents need and what they're not getting. And I wanted to focus my practice on women because I mean, they're my jam. I love being somebody called me a woman's woman yesterday. And I was like, yes, I'll take that. So I'm building the coaching practice. So it's coaching practice, online course platform for women. And then ultimately, I would like to write a book. I've been doing a lot of research on millennials and home buying. That's my generation. And there's an enormous gap between home ownership rates of millennials and every other generation before them. And so I started deep diving into why that is. And I have a lot of theory around it. But I think with the book title was loosely called Buy a House Already. Which I think is probably not the right time for that today, given the interest rates are 8% and people can't buy houses. And so I thought I would put that on the shelf for a little bit, but that will be my next venture. Maybe my 50s.
Well, it'll be your next decade of stuff. Every time you said, my 30s, I did this. My 40s, I did this. It's coming. I can tell you already. And knowing you're going to execute on that too. So you actually had, obviously, a dream. You had some adversity. You had some pushback. You have a husband who, it's just wherever he goes, you're going. And now you have two little kids. And what do you do for you? How do you take care of you?
It's a great question. I don't do it enough. I mean, I really don't. I think that... I was really burning myself out several years ago. And my dad, who I told you is a great friend and mentor, said to me, when you fall, everybody who relies on you is going to fall down with you. And I thought, wow, that is really poignant. He said, so could you take a minute and put yourself first and then take another minute and do it again and just keep doing it? Because people need you. And in order for you to be the best version of you, you've got to elevate what you're doing for yourself. So I am a huge reader. I love to read. So I carve out time every day to read. I've read 22 books this year with two small children, and I'm so thrilled about it. And I'm consistently on to the next and the next. So that's a pastime of mine that I really enjoy. I've gotten back into running after two children. I used to run before the kids, and I loved it because it was time to just kind of clear my head and listen to my podcasts and do my stuff. And then I got away from it. And so now I'm doing that again. And it's amazing. And I'm really making that a priority. So I think just being more conscientious of what I'm doing for myself is a step in a great direction.
I totally agree.
But I am tired.
Yeah. I'm with you, girl, on that one. I can't thank you enough for sharing your wisdom, your background, your ideals, and what you're doing. And I'm sure it resonates with a lot of people out there. I mean, this whole podcast is literally talking to entrepreneurs to let them know you're not alone. You have friends, you have people that you have people to reach out to as well. And if somebody wants to get a hold of you, how do they do that?
Yeah, so I live on Instagram at elizabeth.convery. You can certainly email me at elizabeth.convery@compass.com. And my website is elizabethconvery.com. So,
no pun intended. So I just want to say thank you because this is the first of many of our podcasts that we're going to behold. I'm not so sure anybody's ever saw a live podcast before, but it is really neat to see how it goes and then it produces and it goes out there in social media forever. But it is really exciting. And you're just an inspiration to so many people, including me. So
thank you.
Just a wonderful person. But I also think give yourself the credit you deserve because having two small kids, kids, your husband not being around as much, that's really hard. And then just having that mental, and then today you were calling me like, I'm a little late, but I'm going to make it. And you were running around and showing homes and stuff like that. And you're still making it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard because some days you say to yourself, why am I doing this? And all too. So if you had one word that you want to sum it up to talk to an entrepreneur out there, what's that one word to give them hope?
Be brave. It's two words. Be brave.
Be brave. That's okay. Entrepreneurs never listen anyways.
No.
No, it's all good. So.
No, but really, look, at the end of the day, you have to be your biggest advocate for what you want. And what you want is your dream. And if I can impart anything on you, it is within reach. It's not going to be easy. Your path will not be straight, but it will be your own path. It won't be like anybody else's. And one day you'll look back and, you know, one of your friends will say, hey, can I interview you? And you'll say, wow, I didn't realize that that impacted me in the way that it did. And it will. And I ask all of you to bring somebody up behind you, because I think that that is so important to build community. I love what you're doing. This is amazing. We can't do it alone, and we have to do it together.
Touche to that, my dear. And that's why Shadow Her, one of the reasons why it was formed. So I can't thank you enough. Yeah. And thank you all for listening to our first ever. And give me back to Megan.
Yeah.
Well, let's give everybody, let's give Elizabeth and Marsha a round of applause. That was incredible. So who has fire to start a business after this? I mean, just definitely us. And a podcast. Like, this is a perfect outlet to be able to reach others and, you know, share your mission, share your business with others. So you can also have a podcast and we can help you to do that. So I want to give a couple thank yous at the end here. So we have our producer, Jacob Media Partners, right over here, our friends. We have our marketing team, 15M Media. And then we have the associate director of Shadow Her, Amy Cobb, right here, who put this whole thing together seamlessly. I actually don't even think I heard from you the whole time because it was all perfect and flawless. So Amy, we've gone so deep into this already that we've already brought on our first full-time person because that is how quickly it's growing. So and our final thing, on every table you'll find a sheet that has different levels of sponsorship. So if you or your business or friends or family want to get involved in Shadow Her, there's options there along with a la carte options. You know, maybe you're not ready yet for one of those levels. There are so many ways you can be involved and get involved with Shadow Her. One more shout out to our mentors and our mentees who are here tonight, who are halfway through. So let's give one more round of applause for them. Raise your hand if you're a mentor or a mentee. Yeah, we've got Ginny in the back. Yep. Yes, we're so lucky. So thank you all so much again for your support through Shadow Her. And we can't wait to see you again. And you can listen to this on all of the places you can listen to your podcasts. And we will make sure we let you know right when it starts to drop. So thank you again. Enjoy the evening.